Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, the Manny Pogo. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. And helping me do that this week is a very large group. We have the stars, creator, director, and producer of the CBC show, The Tall Boys. Say hi, everybody.
Hey. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
What up? Normally, what I would do is I would talk to one-on-one, but what I would like to do is, because we're talking about the 2000 classic Leprechaun in the Hood, I'm so fascinated and so curious as to why you picked this movie. So I guess what I'd like to do, I'll start with Tim. Let's start with you guys. Go around, introduce yourselves, and tell us why you picked this movie or what you feel about this movie.
I'm Tim. Tim Blair. I'm one of the Tall Boys. Well, Leprechaun in the Hood, I guess. I don't know if a whole lot of thought went behind the
movie,
other than it's just a fun one. I mean, well, I know it's the sequel to The Leprechaun Goes to Space. So I guess I really wanted to see, I mean, what you do after you go to space.
I mean, that's what I wanted to know. Sure, yeah. Yeah, Los Angeles feels like the natural progression. Excellent. Vance.
Oh, yeah. I'm Vance Banzo. And I'm in Tall Boys, and I chose Leprechaun 5 because representation matters, and to see yourself on screen really is a positive thing.
You're talking about a leprechaun, right?
Well, I'm talking it being a stoner movie, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Very hey, funny. Hey, I'm Franco. I chose Leprechaun because everyone suggested it, and I like to follow the crowd.
Which is really not true.
Hey, I'm Gulet. I chose Leprechaun 5 in the Hood because I love any title with In the Hood in it.
And Bruce, why Leprechaun in the Hood?
Well, it was chosen when I came aboard this project. Right. And maybe this is a good time to talk money, or maybe that's later.
For sure. Wait, now, yeah. Later, whatever you want, man.
But actually, I have a history with it. Leprechaun in the Hood, we played it when I did my record, Shame Based Man. We had it there. It was my second record, Drunk Baby Project. We had it, and we watched it every night. And so it was not that we drank, but it just seemed like the weirdest, most terrible and beautiful film for a beautiful and terrible time that we were having. So I'm very happy that I'm here with you all.
I rewatched this again last night, and I don't know, it's probably fair to say some elements of this do not age very well, having just been made in the year 2000, but still enjoyable, I guess. The thing I took away from it was this, and I'm curious how you guys feel about this. The Leprechaun is a Jedi, the boys, the Positivity Crew, the Goonies, and Ice-T is just Ice-T. Where does that resonate with you guys? Does that fit? Did that leave an impression like that with you? Where do you guys feel, or how do you feel about this movie?
I was very surprised. I watched it for the first time today for this movie. I've seen like other Leprechaun movies, but I didn't know what to expect in this one. I know in the first one, like every kill, he's in a different kind of vehicle, different mode of transportation. So I was trying to hoping for more of that, but I know it's tough to keep for five movies, but yeah, definitely. I saw the Jedi thing. He had like electricity and force powers. Like it was nuts.
Yeah. He has trouble opening a door, but he was able to blow people's chests out, which I thought was quite fun. Quite interesting. Vance, what about you, buddy?
I was really interested in how he did all of his murders, but they're all like in like sexual in nature. And I found that so good. So gold. That made me feel good. Made me laugh a lot. Everyone just kind of found him attractive, which is what I was just like, he's not an attractive guy, but everyone's like, I would.
People were on board with him instantly. Anytime he walked into a room, people were on board with the Leprechaun instantly.
Yeah, and it's horny in the other movies. He's at the Leprechaun.
I don't remember him being that horny in all the other movies, but he might have been.
No, I think what happened is the writer's marriage broke up. right before he wrote this. But it is interesting that there is sort of, I don't want to disparage anybody, but sort of rock video women in this movie who all kind of like him. I mean, he's really, he's really a baller.
His fly girls at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it took that long into the movie for the leprechaun to freestyle rap. I thought that was like right off the bat, but they saved it for the last act. Wow.
And that's where the money went. Cause that is the most produced choreographed element of the whole movie. And then it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, like what I am curious about, you know, often, and you do this, I won't say for a living, but you do this all the time, is, you know, sometimes bad movies didn't know they were bad movies, and maybe the best bad movies didn't know they were bad at the time. They were made with great intention. I can't tell if they thought this was funny. Were they trying to do like a Saturday, you know, night kind of crazy kind of thing? Like what did they think? What did the makers think the tone was?
I have no idea, Bruce. I thought the exact same thing watching it.
Well, they were kind of in on the joke. I mean, Ice takes like a baseball bat out of his afro, you know, I mean, so there's what we in the Tall Boys room call legal jokes in it. And maybe just the cheesiness is just the cheesiness. Like it's just low budget, right?
There's,
I don't know.
Several Looney Tunes style bits in this whole thing. Like when he pulls the bat out of his fro, when they're all sitting together, when the positivity crew is sitting together, checking in with each other. And the last one they look at is a leprechaun. And then they do the thing and they run out of the room, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah. And I guess Ice was playing homage to all those. I don't know if they're great, but certainly they were culturally great. All those movies, you know, with the eleganza clothes, which I've always been trying to get the Tall Boys to wear, but they never will, you know? And just that kind of funky jive sort of movie making that was so, you know, so important in a way, wasn't it? And I guess Ice would be doing it for that reason. Like, I don't, you know, he's a serious guy.
Yeah.
This was like so long ago. Was this like one of his first like big acting roles? Like it's 2000. Like it's quite a long time ago.
I don't know what the first thing he did was.
He was great in New Jack City.
He's great in New Jack City.
I think New Jack City probably predated this, didn't it, Franco?
I think, yeah, I believe so. I think it was like early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, he's been doing this for a while now.
Definitely I love it.
The best performance of the movie, I think.
Actually, the leprechaun, I want to know who that was. Warwick Davis. Really in character. Was that who it is?
Warwick Davis, yeah.
Warwick Davis, great.
Really, he did look like character. He was having a ball, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
It looked so fun.
I feel like he was the one part of the movie that made sense because he was such a wacky character that like none of his lines, they were all non sequiturs. He could be doing whatever. He could come in a scene and say whatever he wanted. But the rest of the character was like, there's so many storylines. They wanted to get to Vegas. I was like so confused. Like, why is all this happening in one movie?
Here's what I missed. I wish that they had the leprechaun walk by a big lake and cry, because that's what I was waiting for. I kept saying, when is he going to be by a big lake, look down at his scuffed weird shoes and start actual tears? That's what I wanted. And I think I speak for the Tall Boys when I say that they wanted that as well.
I needed to know the leprechaun struggle. Yeah.
Exactly. Humanism.
I mean, I never thought about that. Do you think this stuff ever gets to him? Do you think it ever wears on him that he does this for a living, just murders people to get his gold? It's got to, right?
He's drinking a number five. Like he's starting to hit the bottle.
Well, you know? I know I do a lot of stuff for my kids, you know, and stuff I'm not proud of, you know, so maybe that's him.
So as Bruce's lawyer, I want to say he's not admitting to anything.
So what you're suggesting, Bruce, is that somewhere in Ireland there's a little leprechaun family and he's providing for these people.
Yeah, and it's like what I do when I was doing, you know, the Trailer Park Boys. It's like, what did Daddy do today? Oh, a guy in jail was raped and Daddy filmed that. You know, that's what the leprechaun has to tell his kids. Well, you know, there was some girls there in tights and none of them were mommy, but I didn't seem to mind, you know.
I do like that there's more to the leprechaun than just he's doing this for the gold. He wants the gold to go back home.
Yeah, he comes home, he takes his little hat off, and he just sits in a chair for a minute. Like you said, Bruce, he's sitting by the water looking at his scuffed shoes.
You know, and I know a lot of Irish people. I married an Irish girl. So I understand, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things going on culturally, but I certainly understand the love of home, which he, you know, so important. Yeah.
He does seem like a very loyal guy.
Mm-hmm.
He does, yeah.
And all the music is originally, they made all the music for the movie, which that part also, like, I was like, that's crazy, man. Someone had to sit down and write these positive rhymes.
I don't know if I'm missing the point on this, but the thing that drove me nuts about this was that they're good musicians. Everybody likes their music. The only problem they have is a technically related problem or, you know, they, whatever. Their music is good. The Leprechaun helped them do nothing. I just wanted to see these three music dorks lean into the fact that you guys are really good musicians. You don't need all this other crap.
Yeah, I guess the flute just helps people pay attention. That's it. They'll look in your direction. Yes. Yeah, the music does the rest of the work. Yeah.
Yes, they did it. And they're always prepared. Like when they're in church and they just freestyle a psalm, they're ready to go. They're amazing musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is like a very compelling origin story of Postmaster P, like how his rough beginnings, the hurdles he had to face and his friends who died along the way to make like whatever his first album's going to be. That's heat. He's got a lot of story to unload. Yeah.
It's going to be positivity, has some darkness in it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you guys felt, but I thought his last song with the Leprechaun was by far the weakest performance he had in the movie.
He didn't lip sync or anything. He was just standing shrouded in a cloud.
You couldn't even see him.
Well, he maybe thought people weren't still watching.
That's true.
Maybe, now that he's away from the positivity, nobody really cares about him. I like this movie because it really forces you to have a lot of suspension of disbelief and kind of do the work yourself with the Jedi powers, for example. Like they don't really look that painful, but the look on the performer's face is like, wow, this is the most awful thing that's ever happened to you. What was it like for you guys to fill in those gaps? Were you able to do that?
Well, yeah, when you got electrocuted with the broomstick, easy, no problem. Yeah, I bought right in. No problem. Great performance, like you said. And then the eyes turning green.
What a nice touch.
Yes, I'm with you because the little explosive he made out of, I think the title of the product is Winter's Day Douche and whatever jelly he had, the explosive thing he made with the heating pad, I was on board.
And the science was so great.
Yeah.
Mentioning nitroglycerin, I'm like, okay. Someone did research.
I like how Butch just had those goggles with the lights at the end, and he never explained why he needed to wear them, but he's wearing them the whole time till he died. After he already put makeup on to be a new lady, like still wearing the goggles. Yeah.
Oh, when they go to Bugs Bunny their way to get the flute back at the end.
Yeah.
Of the movie? That again, that scene Butch show up at the end with the goggles on again, just maybe even angrier because I was like, they're dorks and he's a science dork. Like you don't need any of this stuff. Even when the flute went away, the Leprechaun wasn't pursuing them and neither was Ice-T. Like, you're fine. Just keep doing your thing. If you had to hawk guitars to a pawn shop, what artist would you fake a signature on?
Kurt Cobain signed 2001.
That's
yeah. Prince.
I think Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley's good.
Well, because he's pawned a lot of his guitars with his marriage troubles. And so people would believe that they were holding on to an Ace Frehley guitar because there's so many. Actually, the market's glutted, you know.
Bruce, you said that with such authority. I would love it if you had the inside scoop on Ace Frehley's marriage life.
Yeah, I feign authority. That's how I got to work with the Tall Boys. I pretended I knew what I was doing.
You got to sell them on that KISS relationship stuff.
It's great.
I think if I were to pawn a guitar, I'd just use an Ice-T signature. You know, I get someone who doesn't play guitar, but I was like, that's the only thing I got for them to sign.
I'd get Raffy, but written in crayon.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. Like Abe Lincoln would be probably a fairly valuable signature on, you know, a 1979 SG.
Abe Lincoln, yeah, or any of the first 16 presidents, I think would be good.
Yeah, or all of them. Oh my God!
If you could get all 16 first 16 presidents on a guitar and hawk that, Coolio's in this movie for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, they didn't even introduce him by mentioning Coolio. Yeah. They're like, Coolio. They just like drop him in the script.
I think you're right. I think Straight Bullet says, oh my God, it's Coolio.
Yeah.
Well, that's so the producers could say, we do have cameos. We have Coolio.
And he's great.
I thought he was going to offer them like a record contract or like they're going to have a cop. Like, I feel like nothing came of that at all.
No, he just showed up. Like, and he after they wrap the psalm, he's gone, right? Like, he doesn't come back at all.
My hypothesis is that he was supposed to be the judge of the Las Vegas competition, but they couldn't book him on that day to shoot. So it was like, all right, we'll just have you at the church.
Well, let's talk about the Las Vegas competition. They don't make it. They don't make it because of a technical error. So who do you think made it to Vegas and or won the competition? This is 2000 now. Is there a group or a band that made it to Vegas and won the whole thing? And now we know them by name.
Do you know how sad your girlfriend looked as she walked by, as she looked up at you and just she glanced at you all the hard years you've put her through?
Well, no. Bruce, we're about to get married, so it's going to be a whole lot worse.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole lifetime of just disappointing looks.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like early 2000s, like would Cisco or Drew Hill, would they be around? Would they be big?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine it was Kid Rock because rap rock was really big at that time. Yeah. It was also hip hop. Good crossover.
Man, he's from never mind. He was going to run for Senate in Michigan. Yeah, he's great. He's great.
It was the Neptunes. The Neptunes made it to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Just the producers, just based on beats alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Something else. That's very funny. Bruce, what about you? Anybody from 2000s that might have made it to the Las Vegas competition and won the whole thing?
It's more like, I think it would have been like Carrot Top or or someone in that, you know, or maybe Yakov Smirnoff's last booking or something like. I think it was someone who's not musical for some reason, and they probably had a reason for it, like box
really
office
sad story.
I like that they were leaning into positivity. I think that's a rarity, and I wish they would have stuck with that. I wish we didn't have to lose two of the members to see how that would have panned out.
Yeah, well, I mean, this whole franchise is about dreams. And us following our dreams, which is what Tall Boys and Kids in the Hall have always been about. So, you know, that's why we liked it so hard.
It's a great movie. It's really, really good. And you mentioned earlier, Bruce, just because the Ace Frehley thing, was Doug Hall going through a divorce when he wrote this movie?
Probably. I mean, I can only think that he was, you know. I don't want to besmirch him on this very public podcast.
Technically public, yeah.
Yes, it's technically public. maybe he'll reach out, you know, and I, you know, had anybody here done their homework, they would know what other films he'd written. I don't.
Surely he wrote Leprechaun 2, Back to the Hood.
Wait, was there Back to the Hood?
Yeah, they returned to the Hood. Yeah.
Oh, what? That's crazy.
But I don't think Postmaster P or any of those other guys show up in that one.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I'm really kind of hung up on this whole Vegas thing. So I would love to sit around and talk about Ace Frehley's divorces and what else he's written. But we're gonna take a break and we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk to one of those Vegas groups. We're gonna talk to the Negativity Crew. But the Tall Boys, Bruce McCullough, thanks for coming by and talking about how important this movie was to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
Having
it was us. A lot of fun.
Hey neighbors, Adam here. Have you been enjoying My Neighbors Are Dead? Well, there are two quick and easy ways you can show your support that only take a second. First, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. That can be anything from talking about a recent episode to suggesting a film for a future guest. And two, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss future episodes. It helps you, it helps us, and it helps new folks find the podcast. Thanks, and now back to the show. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me, guys. I'm so excited to introduce you. I'm sitting here talking to the Negativity Crew, musicians, the Negativity Crew. Welcome to the show. How are you?
What up?
I'd rather be somewhere else.
Yeah. 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 Honestly.
Yeah. No, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Reading up on you and kind of discovering what you guys are about, it's right there in the title. It's right on Broad Street. You guys rap about nothing but negativity. What inspired you to pursue just a whole negative lifestyle?
We had people in the neighborhood that were doing rap, and we wanted to discourage them through the power of music.
There were some people who were like really trying their hardest and like, you know, preaching things that were nice, and we didn't like that. So we thought we'd form our own crew and somehow surpass their level of fame in order to make them themselves feel bad about themselves. Yeah.
We thought we don't even like rap, but we thought the idea of being good at it very easily would discourage more people from practicing and trying their hardest.
We almost called ourselves crabs in a bucket. Yeah.
Before we continue, I feel bad. The Negativity Crew, but individually, I feel bad that I didn't introduce you. I'm talking to Intentional Bullet, Negative N, Innocent Bystander, and Posh. You're a religious nerd. Like rap, but somehow you've gone on to create, a very successful rap group. How does that sit with you guys? Are you enjoying it now? Do you hate rap even more? What's your headspace like creatively?
Ooh. I mean, you bring up a good point. It's a conundrum, you know. We want to discourage people from rap, but we've gotten quite big ourselves. And so it is something that we're dealing with. We're hoping that our record label will drop us if we bring enough negativity to our next record. all the email exchanges, we make sure that we end with a giant fuck you and your job is worthless. But so far, they've been responding positively to our negativity, which is frustrating.
Yeah, our latest album, Keep Your Day Job, went number one, and it encouraged a lot of fathers to spend more time with their families, which we don't like.
Yeah, it seems everything we try to do that's negative brings a positive influence on the people who it's affected by.
I'm curious, like the four of you individually seem to be rather negative. Were you always like this, or was there some inciting incident in your life that kind of steered you towards negativity?
I guess it was when that leprechaun killed everyone in our neighborhood.
Yeah, this is a big part.
Yeah. That's a good place to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
It turned to religion.
I mean, we all did, you know?
So
Posh kept it going.
Yeah. Prior to this, no religious experience whatsoever. A leprechaun shows up and kills everybody. You turn to God.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing you got to do. You got to acknowledge God exists. If a leprechaun is real, then God got to be real.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what were your lives like before the leprechaun killed everybody? I mean, you know, you're so negative now. Was there ever a time in your life when you were positive? Like, were you a consultant at an engineering firm? What were your lives like?
A bluegrass band, actually. And it was quite, I really enjoyed it. It was a good time working with these guys.
I played that thing with the tin bathtub with the clothes hanger on top. That's what I played.
Yeah.
And I played the iron. We were exclusively clean material band.
DIY household instruments.
I think that's great.
Yeah. And we were like, honestly, like we were getting some local gigs. We even pitched in money together to get a van. And we're planning on getting out of the city a little bit. And that's when the murders started happening.
Yeah. We had a show lined up at a nightclub. And then all of a sudden we hear that a leprechaun has taken over the nightclub and we had a show booked there that evening.
That pisses off.
Goodbye, bluegrass.
Would bluegrass music fit into that nightclub? I'm so curious because it doesn't, it seems like maybe that's a like conflicting genres. What is that like?
You'd be surprised. The Hood in 2000, they were bumping that bluegrass. I mean, that was the wave. You know, you'd smoke a little green grass and you turn up the bluegrass, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we always take a lot of requests and we do covers as well. We do Uchiwala, Buenos. We do Back, Mystic, all of Mystical's catalog, pretty much.
So it seems like a lot of the requests that people give to you aren't bluegrass related at all when you were still a bluegrass band. So that must have been challenging to learn how to play those songs in a bluegrass DIY style.
Yeah. I mean, it was challenging, but like, I mean, we, at that time, you got to remember we were very positive. So we believed that we could do it, you know? And so like, we were like, all right, yeah, give us a challenge, you know? And when people gave us like Mystical, we really didn't think we could do Shake Your Ass, but we really did, you know?
Yeah.
Shake Your Bluegrass.
Yeah. We changed up the lyrics too. That's part of what we did to make it more aligned with what we believed in.
Yeah. Shake your bluegrass, but wash yourself.
You might be dirty, you know?
Yeah. A very positive message. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did all of our original songs were about hay.
All of your original songs were about hay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some form or another. We found many different ways. Like we had the thesaurus open and trying to find different ways of talking about hay.
Mm-hmm. And then we did that Outkast cover of Hey Ya that was about hay. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just called Hey Ya.
Yeah. And it sounds so much like the original, except we knew that there was a hay and then just ya. Like we were excited we saw some hay.
And when we were saying shake it, shake it, shake it, we're talking about bales of hay.
Sure. Yeah.
And we replaced the word Polaroid picture with bundles of hay.
It didn't work as well for the meter, yeah, but
we really forced the rhyme on that track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say hey seems to lend itself to your style of music. It seems almost the easiest one to make the transition to.
Definitely, definitely.
Collectively, as the Negativity Crew, you are more successful than you've ever been. But prior to this, as a bluegrass band, maybe not so much. So collectively, that's what's going on. Individually, where are you at with your own mental state? Do you prefer being negative or positive? And what are the aspects that have changed in your life since becoming negative? I guess Posh will start with you.
Well, I would say that it's easier to follow the word of God if you are liking it. Uh-huh. You know, if you're not so adverse to it, like peace be with you, saying that there brings like a bubble in my throat that makes me, it's like vomit.
Yeah.
And but like before the Leprechaun came along and we all turned negative and turned to God, I didn't even think about any of that. You know, I just thought about, you know, just playing my rubber band in between my two lips.
Oh, that's what you did?
That was your
he had a crazy rubber every show he would do a 7-minute crazy rubber band between the lips solo. People would just light up their lighters. Oh, it'd bring the house down.
I'm so sad I never got to see you perform as your bluegrass band because you sound really
it looked
amazing.
Like a drama school warm-ups, but it was rocking hot bluegrass.
Innocent Bystander, what about you? What's your life like?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, now, I've got a very negative state of mind mentally, and it's tough because you know it's good. You know, where I'm thinking negative thoughts. You know, like I'm never going to be successful. Yet I'm seeing so much success at the same time. It's sort of this ever perpetuating cycle.
What about you?
I don't want to agree with them, you know, like I don't want to agree with them, but they are right that this is affecting my mental health. You know, like, I mean, yeah, when we were a bluegrass group, I mean, I truly, you know, I thought I believed in, you know, like we could become bigger. We're just going to make more friends. We're going to find fans and we're going to like grow a community of people that love each other. But now we're just trying to whittle down our fans till it's just one person because everyone hates us and does not want to listen to us anymore. But we're having the opposite effect, which is our fan base is growing.
Legions of fans are showing up to your shows.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's really messing with me because I'm hoping this will end at some point, but it keeps going.
What about you, Intentional Bullet?
Yeah, it really enrages me to know that we're inspiring millions of people to just keep going. I've been doing everything. Been reading The Secret backwards, just taking everything out of there. Anything that I put out there, I just take it back. And it seems to be leading to this hell we call success. So I wish it would just be over, but somehow it just keeps going.
I know a lot of bands can be very protective of what their creative process is like, but if you would be so kind as to share with us, what is it like in the studio with the Negativity Crew when you come up with ideas for songs? Do one of you bring in lyrics, one of you bring in instrumental tracks or whatever? What is that songwriting process like for the Negativity Crew?
incredibly difficult and I'd say almost tumultuous. You know, someone brings up an idea and then we'll all immediately shoot it down, kind of rag on that person for suggesting or trying to contribute in any way, shape, or form. And that sort of just continues until a song is created, I guess, until until we get too tired to be negative.
Oh, so you just tire yourselves out in the studio and then that's when the day's over?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good... I mean, we as Tim was saying, we just want to make the environment as uncomfortable as possible. Even the furniture we don't like. If you try to sit on it, it hurts. And so that really does get you angry and then can inspire some ideas.
Was there ever any talk about going back to being a bluegrass band? You seemed so much happier when you were doing bluegrass music. Why stick with rap?
Because of the leprechaun.
Okay, talk to me about
never,
that.
You never know. The moment you play that music, he'll go and he'll put his hand through your chest. So that's my reason to avoid happiness.
Yeah, we blame ourselves a lot. We think that us playing the bluegrass music and being so popular is the reason the leprechaun came to town and murdered everybody. It's got to be.
I don't even want to say the word blame. We are the cause of it.
Yeah.
We're the direct result of it.
See, this really pains me to hear because you're negative. That's your thing. But you guys are all so nice and you came here and you talked about it. I don't want to see you beating yourselves up for something you had nothing to do. If anything, it's Mac Daddy Onassis who kind of screwed up your whole neighborhood. So I feel like if anybody's to be blamed, it's that guy.
Well, we were actually signed to his record label before he passed. He was the only one who gave us a chance.
Yeah, we don't want to bite the hand that feeds us.
Wait, signed as a bluegrass band or is the
Negativity? Absolutely, yeah.
Bluegrass band. He told us that we sucked, but he could do something with us. And then he smashed our cassette tape and told us that we had to make do-it-yourself instruments. That's... And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm really fascinated with him because the Positivity Crew, who you must have some sort of history with, they seem to have a similar experience. And I also I don't know how you can maintain a record label by just giving people deals when they approach you on the street.
Well, yeah, it seemed that was sort of his philosophy with everyone who approached him is that he'd take their demo, listen to it, destroy it, and then give them a chance. And I don't know. He somehow was able to turn a profit and you got to respect that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're absolutely right. The proof is in the pudding, as they say. He's done very well for himself.
Yeah, he's like a drama school teacher. You know, he breaks you down to build you back up again.
I mean, and it's obviously worked because you've learned a lot, and here you are. Here we sit.
Yeah.
To date, I'm looking at your sales. You have sold 80 million copies of your demo alone. I don't think it's
so
ever been done.
So annoying.
I wish we were did negative sales. We should owe people money.
Yeah. I know. I wish we would put the record out. The company, you know, told us actually we're going to charge you for the studio time, and so we lost money. Yeah, that would have been so nice.
I put our masters on BitTorrent, and people it's still going up. People didn't even download it out of respect to us. They put out direct. They're sending money to our Bandcamp account.
Yeah, because they think we're not doing well, and that's why it's really not working out.
And we're not doing well to this, mentally.
Quit upseating it. Quit sharing it out there.
People are leaving their computers on.
This is really difficult for me to hear because I like you guys and things are going so well. I just wish you could enjoy it a little bit. You're at a place, you're very rarefied air. Not a lot of people get to where you are.
I mean, we sometimes.
I'm glad to hear that. That's cheering me up. Hearing that nobody gets to where we are. That's why I do it. This is, you know, you're reminding me why we're in this to be.
To shut the door behind us. Yeah, you're right.
God, that's such a good point. Oh, what a great outlook.
So ideally,
no. Wait, hold on. I think you're having a positive outlook.
I don't want to do that.
Wait. I'm having positivity while trying to be negative. My head. I'm bleeding.
Oh no. Intentional bullet. Oh no. Oh God. I feel now. See,
what
I'm
you done.
I know. I'm just as bad as a leprechaun. I'm so sorry, guys.
You make me feel like there's hope that, oh no, just don't do that.
Well, your music's very important, so I guess I'll say there is no hope. You guys suck. There's you know what I mean? Like,
thank you.
Yeah.
That's like my heart's the lowest compliment you could have given us.
My heart's shrinking 3 sizes right now. Thank you.
So what does the future look like for the Negativity Crew? Do you have any upcoming gigs? Do you have any music coming out? What can we expect from you guys?
We're hoping to get Billboard Bottom 100.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, we're trying to really get to the bottom of the chart. See if we can really hold that last spot down.
And that's exciting.
Yeah. And hopefully we'd like to break up as a band. That's definitely on the horizons.
I'm going to do my own individual art piece where I go through family photos and invert the colors.
So some of this just isn't even music related. This is just what you're doing on your own.
And that's not like a monetary thing. You're not going to sell that. That's just for yourself.
Yeah, that's a passion project.
Well, you got to have those, Stray Bullet. Intentional Bullet. I'm sorry. You got to have those. I mean, it's important to have those things in your life that feed your creativity and your soul.
Yeah. Unlike this music stuff. So draining.
It's just what we want. We want it to be draining.
Yeah. That's the part I like, that it's draining.
This is really difficult for me because, you know, Innocent Bystander, you're talking about, you're hoping that you'll break up. The chemistry in this band could not be stronger. It seems like you guys are just clicking better than any other band that I can think of.
I mean, absolutely. We agree about everything and we're always on the same page, but also that page is how we don't want to be on the same page. So it's quite frustrating, but I die for these guys, but I also want to kill myself.
This is a real tough cycle you guys are in. I feel bad because I like you guys. I've listened to some of your music. I enjoy it. It sucks to see you hating it so much.
Yeah, no, it's really, I mean, I do sometimes miss the days of bluegrass. Just because, you know, I felt like there were silver linings in life, and now I don't like it.
What is your this is the last thing I'll ask you, then I'll let you get out of here. What is your relationship like with now as a group and individually, if there is even one at all, with the Leprechaun?
We're pretty tight. We talk like every day or so.
Yeah. I ring these guys up, and then when they pick up, I'll hang up. I'll hang up the phone, and then I'll text him and say, "Hey, so we're pretty tight."
Yeah, he reminds us of our horrible past, and you know we kind of like that because we're negative. We dwell on the past very often, so we try to keep in contact with that Leprechaun.
Well, the Negativity Crew, I can say that this is the most perplexed I felt about a guest at the end of it, because I enjoy you so much. I've listened to some of the music. It's great. Both bluegrass and your rap music. I don't know if I should say this, but I kind of wish you nothing but the best.
Oh my God.
Oh, come on.
Stop. Are you serious right now?
That sucks.
I don't want to come back.
Yeah, seriously. This interview is done.
Well, check out the Negativity Crew, or don't. You're an idiot if you do.
No.
Yeah, that's great. That's much better. That's great.
Well, the Negativity Crew, thank you so much for coming by and just talking to me a little bit about you guys. And I don't wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, this sucked. I hope I never do this again.
Yeah, and to our fans, you're stupid idiots.
Why do I need Zoom for an interview? What the hell is this?
We're figuring that out now, Posh. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I've been your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself with Nate DeFort and edited by Nate DeFort. Original music was done by Jesse Case, along with Dane Halverson, and our original artwork was done by Mark Nishan. I want to thank the Tall Boys and Bruce McCullough for coming by and talking Leprechaun in the Hood and playing the Negativity Crew. You can check out the Tall Boys on CBC with the sketch comedy show, The Tall Boys. And also, if you get a chance and if you're on Amazon, there is a book called We Have a Little Real Estate Problem by Cliff Nesteroff. I believe I'm saying that correctly. You can check that out. Vance from the Tall Boys is featured in that book. So buy that on Amazon. Check them out on the CBC. They're great guys. If you like the show and you want to support us, please like and subscribe. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can find us on patreon.com at My Neighbors Are Dead. Follow us on Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Michelle Varey.
And I'm Kimberly Truong, and we are the host of Crush Fictionally, a podcast all about your favorite fictional characters from movies, TV shows, and more.
Each episode, we pick a theme, curate a list of characters that we love, why we love them, and some fun facts about the people who created them.
So if you've ever felt a true connection with a fictional character,
tune in to Crush Fictionally on Campfire Media
or wherever you find your podcast.
Campfire.